Glory be to God. God is so good. I want to welcome everyone to church this morning at Paris Christian Center. I don't know how you've come to us today. Maybe you're in the valley or maybe you're on the mountaintop, but I want to tell you, irregardless, God is the God of the valley and He is the God of the mountaintop. Now, the good thing for any visitors is that it's very plain and simple with me. And you will know instantly within about 5 minutes whether you're going to like this church or whether you're not going to like it. Because I'm going to tell you, I will speak the truth. The Word of God is not sugar-coated, and therefore I will not sugarcoat it. And so I'm thankful and I'm blessed, and I feel the Lord, and I thank God that He's given me a Word. And you know, how many of you are on Facebook? How many Facebook people do we have up in here? Now, let's see who all is truthful in the audience here today. How many of you kind of get some type of enjoyment out of Facebook? That is the best free entertainment that I get. And every time I'm like, I'm going to get off of that Facebook. Something entertaining will happen or juicy or whatever. And I'm like, what am I thinking? I'm not getting off of that Facebook. I'm going to stay on that Facebook. This week, there are times where you read upon something, and it kind of sticks with you. And you know, I read something this week, and it stuck inside of me because it's already been kind of in there, and I've already been meditating on it. And I'm going to read you something, and I'm going to ask you to give me the benefit of the doubt. And if you don't agree with it, that's okay, because we can agree to disagree and still go on and love each other. I know what it's like to not agree with everything the pastor says. My daddy was the pastor of this church for over 30 years. There were times where he said stuff and I thought, I don't agree with that. Guess what? I still came back to church. So I'm going to read something, and I want to get my point across today, because there's a bigger purpose than all the judgment, all the criticism, all the ugly that's in our world today. And what the world needs right now in this moment is for believers to be believers, for people to be the hands and feet of Jesus, for people to love people and to accept people. How many of you remember the times in your life where you were down and God loved you anyway? Amen. Can you remember the last time God got you out of something and you thought, God, if you'll get me out of this, God, I don't know how I got myself into this. Do you remember how gracious and merciful that He was, because He didn't judge you in that place where you got yourself? He loved you. He loved you in that place. And so I read on this Facebook, and it said this: if you are a drug addict trying to beat addiction, go to church anyway. If you were out and you were drunk all night, go to church anyway. If you aren't sure of what gender that you prefer, go to church anyway. If you can't quit the disgusting habit, go to church anyways. Church is a hospital for the broken, the lost, the empty, the confused, the desperate, and the rejected. Every sinner has a future. The devil will try to tell you in the middle of your thing that you got yourself into, You've done it. You've done it now. God could never love you. God could never accept you. You've gone too far. Many times when I sit and I speak to women in the jail, I hear the same thing over and over and over. Pastor Kelly, I know what you're saying, but it's not for me, because see what I've done. And then they go into this long thing what they've done. And I want to tell you today that you and nobody else has gone too far, that God's love can't cover what you've done, what you've been through, the thing that you regret, the thing that you're discouraged about. The grace and love of God still pours over you. Okay? Let me continue this. Church is a hospital for the broken, the lost, the empty, the confused, the desperate, and the rejected. Every sinner has a future, and every saint has a past. Every saint has a past. Do y'all have a past up in here today? Do you have a past? Do you have something where you say, oh, I hope nobody ever knows that I done that? I do. I have things where I'm like, Lord Jesus, thank you for the blood of Jesus that washed over that, because I am straight up embarrassed that I did that. Every sinner has a past, has a future. Every saint has a past. We all do. Because the Bible is exactly what it says. We've all sinned. We've all fallen very short of the glory of God. And so to read past here, how do we break the chains of addiction and bondage? By prayer. Prayer for you and prayer with you. There isn't a single person in the four walls of the church that doesn't have something that they hate or regret about their past. Is that true? Amen. We've all made mistakes and will continue to, but His grace is enough. There's things that I'd never want to admit out loud about myself, but God knows each and every single one of them. Dale, there's things about me I hope that you never know, because I'm ashamed of them, because I'm embarrassed of them. God knows every single one of them. Not only does He know them, but He's washed over them. Amen? It says, there's things that I'd never want to admit out loud about myself, but God knows, and He loves me nonetheless. So whatever you've done, whatever you're doing, see, whatever you've done, whatever you're doing. Many people, they think, when I get this area of my life right, I'm going to do the right thing. And people postpone and procrastinate doing the right thing. I want to tell you something. Come anyways. Love anyways. Be a part of it anyways. The church is not a place for perfection. If only perfect people could come up in here, there would not be a single living soul in here. And I'd have to be the first one to leave. That is truth. So to wrap up this Facebook post, it says, so whatever you've done and whatever you're doing, whatever you will do, go to church anyways. It may change your life. And I want to tell you something today, if you don't hear anything else that I have to say, I want to tell you that you have not gone too far. I want to tell you there is not a thing that is too big that God cannot fix. There's not a thing in our lives that He can't turn around and turn it to work out for the good of us, because we love Him. God loves you right where you're at. Have you made mistakes? Yes. Have I made mistakes? Yes. There are times where I sin and I don't want to, and I have to ask God to forgive me. But at the end of the day, it's not about everything that Kelly has done. It's about everything that He's done. It's about everything that He is. And so with that introduction, I'm preaching a message today called, What is Church? What is Church? I've been in church my entire life. I've been in there. Lord, have I been to church? Raised in church. We in the church every time the doors are open. When I was growing up, we was in here every time the doors were closed to the public. We have lived our lives in church. Now that's been good. But what I've seen is sometimes people get confused about what is church exactly. What is church? I want to say that one of my observations from being in church my entire life is this right here. One of the hardest things for people to do is to come through the doors of a church, because they don't know what's on the other side of those doors. They don't know if it's judgment or acceptance. They don't know if it's being put down constantly and made less than, or are these people going to build me up? One of the hardest things to do is to walk up in a church. Is that true or not? It's hard. It's hard. That's why I always say, we're going to love whoever comes up in this place. If your enemy comes up in here, I got news for you. You're going to smile and you're going to love them. If my enemies come up in here, I'm going to smile and I'm going to love them and I'm going to make it right. Amen? Why? Because that is church. That is church. We have conformed church to a four-wall thing. We get all this stuff. We get all these groceries and all this stuff and all these backpacks. If you haven't got a backpack, you need a backpack, please feel free to come up here and get one. All this stuff. And at the end of the day, you know what I do? I get on Facebook and I pull up people, and it don't matter if they saved or they're unsaved. It don't matter if they come to this church or they don't come to this church. It doesn't matter. I'm calling them and I'm saying, hello, Sally Sue. I'm so glad to hear from you. I have got a ton of tomatoes. Can your family use some tomatoes? Can your family use some chicken? Can your family use blah, blah, blah? Why? Because, see, that is church. That is church. That is church. If we're only good to people that are like us, anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. So let's look here in Luke chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 27. And it says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. And he said, follow me. And Levi got up and left everything and he followed him. Did you notice that part? He got up and he left everything and he followed Jesus. See, God's asking people today, believers, he's asking people to get up and to follow him. Leave what you think that you know about everything and just go by what God's telling you. What does God tell you? To love people. To accept people. To not point out everything that you know wrong about them. You know what I've learned after being in ministry my entire life? Is this right here. For everything, there are people, and we all know this, we know what's wrong with them. You feel me? We know what they're doing. And here's what I've learned. For every person that we want to be judgmental about and we think, oh, I know their secret sin, there's so many more people that looks like they've got it all together, but truly on the inside, there's some major issues right there. And so it says that he got up and he left everything and he followed him. And then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained of his disciples. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? So they're asking Jesus, why are you eating with them? What does that tell you? That tells you they thought they were better. Now, Jesus, we're having a little shindig over here. Why are you eating with them? Those are sinners. And Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners to repentance. See, God's come to save people, to heal people, to deliver people. He needs believers to be the hands and feet of who he is. He needs for when people come up in here, and maybe you know the worst thing about them. When they sit down, you go over there and you act like you don't know a thing and just love them. Love on them. Because by the time they've come up in here, that's what they need. Because it was hard for them to do that to begin with. When you've gone out and you've really done some things, and you feel like everybody in the town knows what you did, and it's embarrassed your family and it's embarrassed you, and the devil starts messing with you thinking, can anybody ever get over that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. The most important thing that we have to do is love on people. To show them who God is. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 37. And it says here, do not judge and you will not be judged. You ever met somebody that's extremely judgmental? How fun is that? Well, we'll put it this way. You don't want to tell them any secrets. Because you know they're going to judge that. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. See, God never tells you to do something in His Word without telling you how to do it. God never says, do this, and doesn't give you a way to do it. The Word of God says, forgive people as I have forgiven you. What you have to ask yourself when you want to hold somebody up in the trap of that unforgiveness is this right here. When's the next time I'm going to need forgiveness for myself? Well, if you're anything like me, it's going to be very quickly. 5 minutes is a real long stretch of time for me. When's the next time we're going to need forgiveness? And then here's another thing. Here's another thing. I have said it many times. God, I can't forgive them. You ever said that? They've done something so terrible. There ain't no way I can forgive that. God, you know what they did. God, you know what they said. Yes, He does. He also knows some of the things that you did. Some of the things that you said. And what does He say? Forgive as I have forgiven. So when you think that you cannot forgive someone, you look back and you take a good look at just how He forgave you. When He forgave you, did He keep bringing it up to you? When He forgave you, did He say, okay, I forgive you, but from now on, you don't get to go to Red Lobster. You only get to go to McDonald's because you done bad. No, He don't do that. How many of you like Red Lobster? I do. This kid back here in the back row, he's smart. Mom and Daddy, he likes. Do you like those cheese biscuits? I tell them you stop bringing them. Because them things will get next to a person in ways we don't want. So, it says here, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Sometimes this is what we want to do to people. They did me wrong. I'm going to forgive them, but I'm never going to look at them the same. I've said that many times. If I'm not careful, on a bad day, I may say it again. With the same measure, the same measure that you're doling it out, that's what you're getting back. The same measure. It's one thing to say, yeah, I'm a Christian, and to be in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. How much of a Christian are you every other day? When nobody's looking, what are you doing? When you can get away with a real whammer jammer and we think nobody would ever know. Do we do it or do we not do it? That right there, that defines your Christianity. Because anybody can come to church. God's looking for believers, not just church attenders. And trust me, I like church attenders. I like for people to come to church. But when I look at my ministry, Miss Deborah, I cannot be moved only by numbers. I have to be moved by how many souls am I legitimately going to get up there to heaven? Because that's what it all boils down to. In the beginning of this year, I said, God, what do you want me to do for you this year? What do you want me to pray? He said, Kelly, you pray for Logan County. You pray that I'd give you Logan County. I've come across people, some of the biggest outlaws of this city. Sat down, drank coffee with them, prayed for them, loved on them, led them to Jesus. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Many years ago, there was a man that walked up into church. This was when I was a tiny little girl. And he was dirty. He had no shoes. And he smelled of alcohol. And people asked my daddy, are you going to let him sit up in here? Daddy said, oh, yeah. Yeah, he's welcome here. He's welcome here. Why? Because Jesus sat with the sinners. He wasn't sick. He wasn't horrified he was going to catch that with them. Why? Because that's why he came. He came for the sinner to bring them repentance so they could come to know him. It's easy to be. I've been a Christian my entire life. And if I ain't careful, I'll get to thinking I'm so much better. But at the end of the day, God's brought me to places, out of places where I thought were impossible. I thought, God, if you don't step through, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he showed up and he showed out. See, God's no respecter of persons, and we have to stop being. We have to stop being. And so to read on, it says, he also told them this parable. Let me go here. Let me see here. We're done with that verse. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. And you know, in the beginning, when Jeremy and I took the church over, I thought, how hard could that be? You're right. I can giggle about that now. I wasn't giggling in the beginning. I thought, how hard could that be? We got it. Look here. This is what it's like. You get in there and you love people. And when something happens to them, and they're hurting, you hurt. You get in there, and when they get disappointed about something in their life, and they call you up and something awful just happened to them, it's like something awful happened to you. When they call you and they say, Pastor Kelly, we just got our first new house. Will you come over and will you look at it? And you get to rejoice with them. When somebody has to call you and they say, my baby's up in the hospital and they're dying, can you come and can you pray? That's what it is. I remember the weekend that we took the church over. We went to Northwest Arkansas, Jeremy, Pastor Jeremy and I, and Jeremy has been in ministry too most of his life. And We went to go see his childhood youth pastor. And it was one of the reasons why Jeremy went into ministry to begin with. And we told him, yes, we are now pastors. And he got us in a little huddle. He said, now I'm going to give y'all the best advice that I could ever give you. And I thought, oh, that's exactly what we need. We know it all, but give it to us. He got us in his huddle. And he said something that I thought was very simple at the time. He said, all you got to do is you got to love people. And I thought, oh, we got that. I have gone back to that memory many times and thought, God, put that love in there where I don't have it sometimes. When somebody hurts somebody in this church, when y'all get somebody that's messing with you, hurting your family, I'm not going to lie. The mafia side wants to come out of me. That's why I married Pastor Jeremy, because he doesn't have a mafia side. He just sweet. I'm not. He'll say, Kelly, you know God's got that for that person. You know God's going to work it out. See? Do you love people? Do you have the ability to even sit at a table today with somebody that's in a totally different walk than you and just love them and not judge them? I believe we're living in the last days, and what people need in the last days is they need to come to know a Jesus that is, and not a Jesus that is just made up. People take the Word of God and they dissect it and they make it into whatever they want it to say. People need to be able to come up into a church. They need to hear the Word of God. They need it not to be sugar-coated. And they need to know that at the end of the day, they're going to be loved whether they're doing right or whether they're doing wrong. Amen? They need to know they ain't going to get no judgment from us. They're going to get love from us. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. And you can't get somebody saved without loving them. You can't pass on judgment and think that's going to help get them saved. It don't work like that. One of the first people that I led to Jesus was one of the biggest drug addicts I've ever met. You know what? I led that person to Jesus like I was leading the president to Jesus. Why? Because there ain't no difference. Because there ain't no difference. You got to love people. Why are we talking about love today? Because there's so much hatred going on. There's so much hatred going on. Unfortunately, hatred in the heart of believers, hatred in the heart of sinners, hatred in the heart of this group of people, hatred in the heart of that group of people. Can we just agree that we're all folks? Because see, that's how it's going to be in heaven. God ain't separating folks out. When we finally get up there and we get to be in heaven, he's not going to say, now all y'all that like classic music, you get up over here, you're going to live on Street A. And you people that like rap, you're going to get over here. No, he's going to say, praise me. Let's praise. So Romans chapter 15, verse 1, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. There's times where you're going to get in a situation and you're going to be dealing with somebody that's weaker than you. I said weaker, not better. There is no such thing as better than. Maybe you made different choices. Maybe you took a few more better turns than they did. You may be stronger, but you're not better. So what does it tell us to do? Bear with them. Bear with them. There have been times where I've had to say, what did that guy say? Was he crazy? Love them. Men, when you going up in their house at 3 o'clock in the morning and they messing up and they called you because you the pastor and they think you're going to instantly make it right. Some people think that we got some magical powers, us pastors. We just snap their lives back, right back, good to go. That's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure. We got to bear with people. You know how many times, Sister Cindy, I've had to say, now look, this is a storm that God's going to allow you to walk through. We're going to go through it with you. You know how many storms that people in this church have had, and we've all gone through them together. That's what you do. That's what you do when you're truly a church, when you're truly in the kingdom of God. You realize you're not alone. You're going through that thing together. So we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up, to build him up, to build him up. When's the last time that you built somebody up? When's the last time that you stopped getting aggravated with them because they keep doing the same silly thing over and over and over? Anybody got somebody in your life and they keep doing the same thing? And it's frustrating because you're like, when are you going to get this? You keep doing that thing and it keeps coming out awful for you. Now, I'm not going to lie. My knee-jerk reaction to that scenario is to just be like, I'm not going to lie. When the mean Pastor Kelly comes out, sometimes I'm like, they ain't never going to learn. When are they going to get it? And then the devil's like, they ain't never going to get it. And then I get a bad attitude. By that time, that's when I'll be calling y'all. When are y'all going to get it? Man, there's only so many times I can go to court over the same stuff. And then God says, Kelly, let's bear with them. There's been people that I've bared with them, and I've lived to see them get to a sweet, sweet side of life where they're happy, where they're whole, where they have their family restored. See, nobody ever told you that life was going to be easy, because it's not, because it's life. The Bible says, in this world, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome all of those things. Yes. It rains on the just and the unjust. We all have issues. We all have our problems. I'm learning to bear with people that we don't have the same type of problems. I used to just, if I didn't relate to him, I just was very unsympathetic. Any unsympathetic folks up in here? You think, well, I mean, of course that wasn't going to work. What were you thinking? I've learned to just say this right here. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over them. God, I ask right now that your grace would wash over this person, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask right now that you'd step into that mess, God, that's been made of their life. And God, turn it around and God, make it better. See, just because you don't have that same problem doesn't mean that we can't move heaven and earth by the glory of who God is for that person. We got to bear with them. To build them up, for even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Boys in the sound booth, if you could turn off this side of the fans, please. I see people that are cold. I don't want them to be cold. I'm not saying I can make them not cold, but I'm going to try. And it says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity. give you a spirit of unity. Can you see in the world where we're all kind of not very unified? Can you see where it would help us to get along better with each other? Every morning, my husband does something. He says, "Alexa, good morning." Alexa loves my husband. She hates my guts. Whenever I tell Alexa to do something, she don't listen. Okay? We went through that last Sunday. And you know what she says to him? What does she say, honey? I'm going to get it wrong. What does she say to you? Every morning I'm like, God, change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Because Jeremy's just a nice person. He's going, you're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, people like you. And I'm like, Sally Sue, you got to quit doing that. But I tell you, God has worked, and he's made me more tolerable. And he'll make you more tolerable. I've got people in my life, and I think, Lord, when will they get it right? When will they get it right? God, are they going to get it right? They will. You have to believe that God is so much bigger than what you think they're screwing up on. He's bigger than that. The devil wants to keep you wrapped up in thinking, oh, they're never going to get it. And God's wanting you to realize, hey, I'm working on it right now with that person. Don't look at the situation. Don't look at what it looks like. Because life is a lot like Facebook. What do we do in life? Well, where did I put my phone? I'll tell you what we do in life. Here's what we do. How many of you got one of these phones? How many of you attached to your phone? Here's what we do. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I knew that about that. Mm-hmm. Woo! Yeah, I knew that was coming. Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, my God. Would you look at that? Sometimes at like 5:30 in the morning when I'm like half still asleep, I'm like, Jer, wake up. Jeremy, did you know? But Kelly, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it at a decent hour, and I don't want to hear it right now for sure. But many things that we look up on social media are not what they seem. They're not what they seem. They're not what they seem. For instance, we took a family photo last fall, and we all looked like we were having a great day, like we were a happy family. Truthfully, I was threatening my children with bodily harm. And they were dangling from the trees. And we needed them trees with them pretty fall leaves to make a pretty picture, and they were messing it up. And I thought, them pictures are going to be messed up. I just wasted a bunch of money on these pictures that are going to be awful. How many of you like to waste money? Not me. Bruna Babe likes to waste money. I was so ticked. That girl sent me the link to them pictures. I don't know how she did it. She made me look skinny, put together, and happy. She made our dysfunctional family look functional and put together. How did she do it? I don't know, but it was fake as it could be. I still put it on Facebook. I'm like, look at my beautiful, blessed family. We love each other. Every not how life is. We got to bear with some folks. Got to bear with some folks. Because when you realize that their life ain't perfect, and they're looking at you like, am I going to be accepted when they just found out I'm not perfect? That's when it, the true test is. Can you bear with somebody? Can you love somebody when you've heard the worst thing that you could possibly hear about them? Can you love them anyways? Can you give them hope anyways? It's a question. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God, accept one another. Sin is sin. We all know it. What I've learned about people is when they sinning, they know. They know they're doing wrong. Let's take a vote. Y'all ever sinned and you thought, I know I'm messing up, but I'm going to do that anyways. There's something about this sin. There's pleasure in it for a season. And then when it really messes your life up, you're going, oh, my God. How did I do that? See? And God's saying, Kelly, can I get you to just bear with them? Sally Sue, can I get you? Megan, can you just love that person? Can you just give them hope even though it looks bad? Miss Mary, can you mama them? Can you tell them it's going to be okay, baby? Brother Ernie, can you get them young men and can you say, look here, I've done that a million times. It's going to be okay. That's what's needed. That's what's needed. See, God is building his house. People need to just say, hey, you know what? I've done that. It messed my life up. Here's what I did. God helped me. I'm going to tell a real doozy on myself. Many times, Brother Sam, when I'm looking down on somebody else, God will convict this heart of mine and he'll say, Kelly, you've done the same thing and you're judging that other person. You've done the same thing, Kelly. Why are you judging them? You went through that. I brought you to the other side of it. What you should be doing is saying, hey, it's going to be okay. And yet you're over here judging. This isn't a make you feel bad message. This is an inspiring, I'm going to get that fire under your rears and make you see that, you know what? God's got a purpose for you. He needs you to love on people because, you know what? People are really hurting right now. If you get on Facebook, that's the gist of it. People's hurting. They got things. Everybody's battling something that we really don't know what they're going through. They need hope. They need one person. Many people, they need just one person that they can talk to that's not going to look down on them. You ever felt like that? I need one person to just spill my guts to and just hope to God they're not going to judge me and look down on me. Can you be that for somebody? Last place for me this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. This is where the Word of God, it just says it very clearly. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If you're doing anything other than loving people, you're just making noise. You're just making pretend you're Christian. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. What is that saying? If I can do all this stuff but I still can't love people, then I'm still nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. In the beginning, I thought, I'm going to get out in the community and I'm going to do things, and I did. But there was another piece of it, and it was the love factor. Yeah, you can go to the post office, and you can go to the school, you can go to the jail, you can do all this stuff. But when you get up in there, one of the most sobering things I've ever experienced was the first time I went to the jail ministry. I said, we want you to be the director, the chaplain director of Logan County. And I thought, well, okay, I can do that. Ooh. Got up in there, and I got a little scared. Because they lock you up in there with them. And I said, now how do I get out of here? When I need to? You got to push that button, and you wait for them to come in and get you. And I'm like, well, how soon do they come and get you? If you really have a problem. Well, sometimes sooner than others. But I got up in there, and I was so nervous. I looked down, and I could see sweat beads off of my elbow. And I was like, oh, my God. And I sat down, and when I sat down, God said, Kelly, I want you to see these are just people. And Crystal, I kid you not, they began to cry. I began to cry. They began to tell me about their children. I began to tell them about my children. They began to tell me about their love life. I began to tell them about my love life with Jesus. When they told me they had gone too far, I said, you could never go too far. When they said, I'm not good enough, I said, He makes us all good enough. There's nothing else. There's no other name that we could ever give people that we could give them that hope other than Jesus. There's no other name. There's no other God. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There's nothing we could ever say besides, you're good enough because He made you good enough. Can you be that person for somebody? Can you look past what we all know about people and let them have a clean slate with you and you just love them? It says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. Why am I telling you to love people today? Because that's the one thing that I can tell you that you can take to the bank that will never fail. When you can love somebody, that love is not going to fail. It's not going to fail you. I've had people in my life that just frustrated me. Some of my family members, and I thought, I'm going to give them the silent treatment just to show them I'm irritated. That didn't help. But when I loved them, when I just loved them, that helped. It didn't fail. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Now we see a poor reflection. Soon you're going to see face to face. There's a day where you're going to see Jesus face to face. You're going to see Him face to face. He's either going to tell you one of two things. Well done, my good and faithful servant. He's going to say, now depart from me. I never knew you. We've talked today about loving people despite it all. Why? Because that is the church. That is the church. We've talked today about what is church. That is the church. When you can look somebody in the eye and they're giving you every reason they can't come in, you say, you come anyways. You come anyways. The Word of God says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Many people, they're looking vain and they're seeing God as a mean God, ready to bash them up over the head because they've messed up in their life. The Word says, behold, I stand and I wait and I'm knocking. I'm waiting. God's not mad at people. God's not hating on folks. God's standing there and He's waiting for them to let them come in, Kayla. Can you help people get to the door? When you know the worst thing about them, can you still help them get to the door? Because if you can, God's going to begin to knock. I want to pray this morning because there are messages where we do altar calls, but then there's messages where we just let it sit on the heart. This morning, I'm just going to let it sit. Y'all stand to your feet. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that it fell on good ground. God, I thank you that the ground that it fell on, God, that ground begins to grow and begins to produce fruit. God, fruit for your kingdom. Lord, that it brings people to heaven. God, to know you, to be with you. Lord, I ask that every person in here, God, where there's been an unrest in their heart, God, I ask that you would give them peace right now. Lord, a peace that passes all understanding. God, where they need a breakthrough, I ask right now, God, that you give them a breakthrough. Lord, where they need a healing in their body, God, I ask that you'd give them healing in their bodies right now. I speak to sadness and depression, and I bind it up, and I loose right now peace and happiness and joy. And God, we thank you for everything that you've done in this service, that you've done in this place, God. We love you, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you guys, we have so much produce. We have grapes. We've got tomatoes.